The views and opinions expressed on the following show are those of the host and not necessarily those of Bigler Broadcasting or the staff and management of FM Talk 1065.
It's time for the George Williams Show on FM Talk 1065. George Williams, retired U.S. Marine Major, Vietnam veteran, retired federal agent, former vice chairman of the Alabama Republican Party, and world traveler, brings his wealth of information, sharing his thoughts on today's politics, and taking your calls and texts at 251-343-0106. Now, making the mission possible, here's George Williams.
Good evening, everyone out there in Radio Land. We are on a mission. We have a special guest in our studio, and I will tell you about her in a few seconds. First of all, I know my father-in-law is listening. He's in LaSalle, Illinois, and his name is Dr. Edward Fesco, and he had just turned 91 years old. So happy birthday, Doctor. We really appreciate you and all you've done for the family, and it's not often that you reach that age, but I guess in another 35 or 40 years, I'll be there. So, no, you know that's not true. But anyway, happy birthday, okay? Folks, we're going to get right into our guest. It's a young lady that I've known for about 15 years now. She is currently a judge, a circuit judge in northern Alabama, and I'll let her tell you about that. But she is running for the Alabama Supreme Court, and she's here in our studios, and her name is Judge Deborah Jones. Judge, how you doing?
Good evening, George. How are you? I'm just so excited to be here and to talk with your listeners. I want to say happy birthday to your father-in-law, 91. That's awesome.
That's awesome.
That's great. Was that yesterday or today?
A couple of days ago.
Oh, well, my husband's birthday was yesterday.
Shows. Right, so. In between shows. Judge, tell our audience a little bit about you and your family and et cetera, et cetera.
Oh, thank you. I would love to. Well, currently, I serve as the circuit judge in Calhoun and Cleburne counties. Now, that's the 7th Judicial Circuit. And if anybody is curious, we're between Birmingham and Atlanta in the northeastern part of the state, right there on I-20.
Right.
And I'm in my second term, so we have 6-year terms as a circuit judge. And what I do is I am assigned criminal and civil jury trials. You know, some counties do things differently. Sometimes the circuit judge handles everything like divorce and all of that. But all I do is jury trials. Mm-hmm. So it's a great job. I love it. I've been doing it for almost, a little bit over 11 years.
Wow.
And we have lots of jury trials, and it's just a lot of fun.
Great. What about your family? I know you got military background with your...
Yes, we are a military family. I have 5 children. My husband and I have been married 29 years.
Wow.
And we have 4 boys and 1 girl. They're all grown. And of all the children, my daughter decided that she wanted to serve in the military.
Wow.
So after she completed 2 years of community college, she said, "Mom, I'm just bored. I want to travel the world, and this is not doing it." And I said, "Oh, my goodness." So, of course, we supported her because, you know, women can do anything that they put their mind to. So she is now in the Air Force, and she has been in Okinawa, Japan, serving us as a security forces officer for a little over a year now. And she has about another year there, and then she's going to Hickam Air Force Base in Hawaii.
Hawaii, yeah.
So Mommy is very excited about that, so we will be visiting her in Hawaii.
Wow, yeah, that was my first duty station was Hawaii.
Oh, George, you've had a long and distinguished...
Kaneohe Bay, Hawaii, so I know.
Yes, you've had a long and distinguished military career, and we just thank you for your service. I don't think I know anybody who's been as... who has served in as many branches of the military as you. So thank you, my friend.
Yeah, I have. Judge, you're running for the Supreme Court seat. What make you decide to run for that?
Well, I believe that we need more trial judges on the Supreme Court.
Okay.
We have 9 justices on the court, And right now we have 7 that have been lawyers in mm-hmm. their legal career, and we only have 2 that have actually served as circuit judges. Mm. And it's very interesting because what happens is the Supreme Court, every day in their day-to-day job, mm-hmm. they are called upon to judge the circuit judges in all 67 counties in our state. Mm-hmm. So what I do every single day is evaluated by those on the Supreme Court. So mm-hmm. it is really important that you actually have the courtroom knowledge and the experience and the skill when you sit on the Supreme Court and judge those that are actually doing that job. So I would love to serve you on the court. Another important fact is we only have 2 female judges mm-hmm. on the Supreme Court, or mm-hmm. justices. Mm-hmm. And I would love to be another female on the court. Now, right now we have an open seat.
Okay.
That's the seat that I'm running for. Mm-hmm. Justice Mike Bolin. He has to retire because he has reached that mandatory age of 70.
Okay.
In Alabama, it's a law that once you reach 70, you cannot run for a judgeship or run for reelection.
Right.
So that seat is open. It's okay. an open seat, mm-hmm. and it's a great opportunity, and I would love to serve you on the Supreme Court.
Great, great, great. What kind of cases do you look for on the Supreme Court that you don't have now, or do you have cases now that go up to the Supreme Court?
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. A lot of what I do. This is how our appellate process works. Mm-hmm. Now, we have a court of criminal appeals, mm-hmm. so all of the criminal jury trials or a motion or whatever might go up before the court, all of that comes from the circuit court to the court of criminal appeals. Mm-hmm. And then there are 5 judges on the court of criminal appeals. And mm-hmm. once they decide an issue, then the next appellate level would be the Supreme Court. But first it would come through the court of criminal appeals. Mm-hmm. Same thing on the civil side. Mm-hmm. If I have, for example, a medical malpractice wrongful death case, mm-hmm. that would be appealed to the Alabama Court of Civil Appeals. Mm-hmm. And again, there are 5 judges on the civil appeals. And mm-hmm. then they can appeal it one step higher to the Alabama Supreme Court. Now, if it's over $50,000, they can just go directly to the Alabama Supreme Court.
Oh, okay.
So a lot of times it does go through the appellate courts before reaching the, the Supreme Court.
Mm-hmm.
So, we have a very strict appellate review when you're talking about criminal cases. In the death penalty cases, those are plain error review, which means that the court looks for every single thing in the record. So when you are handling a death penalty case, you want to make sure that you know what's going on, that you know how to apply the law, because the last thing that you want to happen is a victim's family or even the defendant's family. You don't mm-hmm. want these people to have to come back in and try the case all over again a second time.
Mm-hmm.
That would be horrible. So I think that I am uniquely qualified because I have prosecuted capital mm-hmm. murder cases. Mm-hmm. I was a prosecutor right out of law school for 4 years in our DA's office.
Mm-hmm.
I have also defended capital murder cases. Mm-hmm. And, of course, as a judge for 11 years, I have also sat in judgment and had to sentence those cases. So mm-hmm. I have sat in every chair in the courtroom on the mm-hmm. most difficult case in a criminal case, which would be capital murder.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, I've had medical malpractice, wrongful death, and really that is the wrongful death cases are the most serious type of case in the civil area of law.
Right.
We have a hospital in our jurisdiction, and so we get a lot of those cases.
Mm.
So those most complex cases I have a lot of experience in, and I would bring that to the Supreme Court.
Great, great. Now, are all of your cases that you try with the jury, or
yes,
sometimes you have
jury
cases that are not?
Every now and then, very few. I've had 11 non-jury cases, and it's usually because someone has agreed to waive the jury, and it was already in my courtroom, and so I went ahead and heard the case because I've heard all the motions. I'm familiar mm-hmm. with all the evidence. In our circuit, we have a non-jury judge that's a circuit judge,
okay.
and so that judge gets all of those cases. Mostly what I do is I bring in juries, grand juries, take guilty pleas, mm-hmm. handle summary judgment motions, all of those things that judges do on day-to-day basis.
Mm-hmm. Now, running for the state Supreme Court is a statewide election, right?
Yes.
And don't answer that yet, because we only have about 30 seconds, and then we'll continue this.
Okay.
But, my question, it's you're running statewide.
Statewide. All 67 counties will
67.
Vote for the seat. Yes.
That's a lot of travel.
It's been a lot of fun. I've got to meet people from the North Alabama to South Alabama and all in between.
Right. Because we were together a couple of weeks ago.
In Coffee County.
In Coffee County.
We had a breakfast at 8 o'clock in the morning.
In the morning,
lot of people showed up for that.
Yeah,
so people are interested in what's going on.
That's
They're getting
true.
Out, getting involved. If you get up and come to a breakfast at 8 o'clock in the morning, you know you have some concerned voters.
Yeah, because normally I get up, I open this one eye at 10, the second eye at 10:30. At 11, I open them both. But I had to get up at 6 o'clock to get up there.
That's right.
That's about a four-hour trip. But, okay, that's good. That's really, really, really great. When we get back after the break, we'll continue with Judge Deborah Jones, who is running for the Alabama Supreme Court. And we're so glad to have her in our studios here tonight. We'll be right back, folks. Oops. We still have how many more seconds, Phil? We want to hear the music. There it goes, folks. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to the George Williams Show. Your texts and comments at 251-343-0106. Now, making the mission possible, here's George Williams.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm George Williams, your host, and we have in our studio Circuit Judge Deborah Jones. And we're talking to her. She is running for the Alabama Supreme Court. Judge Jones, welcome back.
Thank you, George.
Okay. Some of the questions that I have, and I think they're relevant, a lot of judges. All right, what is your opinion about judges trying to make the law?
Oh, well, you know what? My opinion about that does not even matter, because what matters is what the Constitution says.
Okay.
And the Constitution says that we have three co-equal branches of government.
Mm-hmm.
The legislative branch is the branch of government that is supposed to make and create the laws,
mm-hmm.
and provide funding for the laws that they make.
Mm-hmm.
Judges should not substitute their opinion about what the law should be or should not be. Now, we should interpret the law and, of course, rule if it's legal or illegal, but judges should not legislate from the bench.
Mm-hmm.
Judges have no business making law. That mm-hmm. is not for the judges. It is for the state representatives and the mm-hmm. state senators and the congressmen and the United States senators. So a judge should clearly and strictly apply the Constitution and the law as it is intended
mm-hmm.
by the writers of the law, the persons that wrote it.
Okay.
So I do not think judges should be legislating from the bench. And that's a problem that we see. And, you know, it matters. We need to elect judges that know how to stay in their lane.
Mm-hmm.
It's important.
Now, you were saying before, as a Supreme Court justice, you have to look at what the lower court judges have done.
Right.
And they need that background.
Right. We all have to be accountable.
Mm-hmm.
I think one of the most important things in my courtroom is I am a court of record. So
mm-hmm.
the court reporter is writing everything that is being said. That makes each attorney on each side of the courtroom, there are always two sides in the courtroom,
mm-hmm.
that makes them professional and accountable, and it makes the person sitting on the bench accountable mm-hmm. to the higher court, to the law, and right. to the voters.
Right.
You know, there is a checks and balances even within the judicial branch. Mm-hmm. So it is very important that we have appellate review.
Mm-hmm. Now, Judge, I look at the Bill Cosby case.
Oh, yes.
Okay. And, you know, he was sentenced.
Yes.
And he did time in prison. But he got out on a technicality. Now, it had nothing to do with whether he was guilty or not guilty. It was a technicality.
And that's why it is so important
okay.
that you have trial judges that are experienced in the law
mm-hmm.
and you have an accountability system.
Mm-hmm.
If someone makes a mistake, the court sends it back to do it again, and you don't want to try those cases again. They are so difficult for everyone, especially emotional cases mm-hmm. of that nature. You know, I have had a lot of experience with child sexual abuse cases, and there is no statute of limitation on those.
Right.
I've had a lot of experience in crimes of violence with rape and robbery and murder and capital murder.
Mm-hmm.
I would never want to put a family through that trial a second time. Mm-hmm. You know, when I was in the district attorney's office, I was a prosecutor, and that's different from being a judge. As
right.
a judge, you can have no opinion. You cannot be an advocate. But as a prosecutor, I was an advocate for those that did not have a voice in our judicial system.
Mm-hmm.
I founded the Calhoun-Cleburne Children's Advocacy Center.
Mm.
And every county now has one, but 30 years ago, we were one of the very first child advocacy centers. And what mm-hmm. we do is we bring children through the court system
mm-hmm.
and give them a comfortable place so that their voice can be heard and they are not re-traumatized
mm-hmm.
by interviewing with so many people. And the prosecution rate of all of those cases went up tremendously. And it's not just because all of a sudden we started having child sexual abuse in our county.
Mm-hmm.
It's because we were able to prosecute those cases. And it's not just child sexual abuse. It's, you know, if there's a murder or neglect or abuse, physical abuse, or if DHR has to come and remove children. So that was very important. I also wrote a law called the Sexual Torture Act.
Mm.
I had a case where a child was horribly molested with an object, and it was not against the law at the time. The only thing I could charge him with was an assault.
Mm-hmm.
And it should have been on the level of punishment as a rape would
mm-hmm.
have been. And so
mm-hmm.
I wrote the law, and it's 10 to life, same punishment range as a rape.
Right.
So I have been a strong supporter of victims' rights as a prosecutor and as an attorney. When I left the DA's office, I went into private practice where I had a very good practice. I had all general areas of law, and one of the areas was domestic violence. I started a domestic violence shelter that was faith-based for women and children to have a safe place
mm-hmm.
to come to. And when I took the bench, of course, all of the victims' advocacy and rights, you know, the helping the victims had to stop. And the reason is a judge cannot have an opinion. A judge cannot be for or against any
right.
party in the courtroom.
Mm-hmm.
A judge has to be fair and impartial and just listen to all of the evidence and apply the law. So I have really enjoyed my legal career. I have 31 years of legal experience. So 4 years in the DA's office, 16 years as an attorney, and 11 on the bench. And I would really love to bring that experience to the court because I don't know that a lot of people can say that.
Yeah, that is very true. How can our audience help you other than to vote for you?
Yes,
but
you got to come and
you
vote.
Your husband are traveling all over. You're staying in hotels.
We are.
And
we
that,
are.
That costs money.
Oh,
so
absolutely.
How can our audience reach out to you?
Well, I have a website. If you'd like to know more about my campaign and what I stand for, it is Judge Deborah Jones for Alabama.com. And Deborah is D-E-B-R-A.
Mm-hmm.
And we would just love to have your vote and your support. I would appreciate it very much. And you can follow the campaign because we are posting things on social media. You can follow me at Judge Deborah Jones on Facebook. Mm-hmm. And on Instagram, it's Judge Jones for You, and the number four and the letter U. So mm-hmm. Judge Jones for You.
What about the website? Is that F-O-R or four?
Yeah, the website is F-O-R. Yes, thank you.
F-O-R. Okay. That is great. Okay, we got 2 minutes, Judge. What else would you want our audience to know?
Well, I just would like everybody to know the type of person I am off the bench and out of the courtroom. Mm-hmm. I am pro-life. I believe God created life, mm-hmm. and I think that the law should catch up with the science. Mm-hmm. Years ago, when we had Roe versus Wade, we did not have sonograms, 4D sonograms. We could not tell if, you know, there was life in the womb. Right. The dissenting opinion or the opinion said that we should revisit mm-hmm. Roe versus Wade mm-hmm. when science can tell us when conception begins. Mm-hmm. And we do surgery on babies in the womb now. So we right. certainly know when we hear a heartbeat on the ultrasound that there is life in the womb. So mm-hmm. I think that is something that will be coming before the courts mm-hmm. in you know, the next season. Mm-hmm. And I would very much like for the voters to know where I stand on that. I am pro Second Amendment. Of course, we're a military family, and right. I'm pro law enforcement and military. And so I would just like for everybody to know that. My husband and I raised our children in church, right. and they all love the Lord, and we love the Lord. And that's who we are, and that's who I am off the bench. All so right. I ask for your vote and for your support.
Folks, I know Judge Jones and her husband, and let me tell you, she is the same way off the bench like she just described. So I urge you to support her. Support us.
I appreciate your support, George. You have my admiration and respect, and you have all these years. So it means a lot to me that you're supporting me.
All right. Judge Deborah Jones, she's running for a vacant seat in the Alabama Supreme Court. So please support her.
Thank you, George. All Enjoyed right. being with you.
All right. Same here, George. And we're going to have you on again.
Okay? Thank you. I'd no love problem. To come back.
All right. No problem. We'll be right back, folks.
Welcome back to the George Williams Show. Your texts and comments at 251-343-0106. Now, making the mission possible, here's George Williams.
Welcome back. Welcome back, folks. I am George Williams, your host, and I'm so glad to have Judge Jones in the studio. She's an outstanding person, and I believe she should be voted into that position as a Supreme Court justice. Okay. Now, we're getting quite a few texts, and I was not here last week. I was up in Pelham, Shelby County, and the purpose of me going up there was to help celebrate the victory, okay, of Kenneth Pasquale, who has become the first Black African-American or Black American, in the Alabama House, okay, Assembly. And it was so great to be up there. And that following day, on that Wednesday, he was sworn in. And that was really fantastic. So we made history in Shelby County and in Alabama, folks, because he is the first Black elected Republican for the Alabama House of Representatives. I mean, we have a lot of Democrats who are sorry, who are there. And we need to get those Democrats out of there. And most of them are Black Democrats in both the Senate, Alabama Senate, and some Alabama House. We need to get them out of there and put some Republicans there. But I know Kenny Pasquale is going to do a fantastic job. Fantastic job. So, Shelby County, we appreciate what you've done, okay? We appreciate it. Now, folks, 2 weeks ago I was here, and I laid out a challenge for another person who has a radio show, and he's on Thursday nights at 6 o'clock. His name is Robert Kennedy Jr. Oh no, he's not that white one with the Kennedy family. This is a black individual, and he sometime challenge or debate Sean on his Midday Mobile program. So I know that Sean can't debate the way I debate. Okay, we have two different styles, and I've asked Robert Kennedy to come on with me, and we would debate the issues of today. Now, he is a staunch liberal, and I'm a staunch Republican. The difference is, the way I see it now, I'm willing to back up what I say. Okay, if I say the Democrats are bad, I'll back it up. If I say Biden is doing a terrible job, I'll back it up. And but my question is, why won't he debate me? And we got a text from, who was it from? Kelly. And he said, hey, George, do you have any commitment from Robert Kennedy Jr. yet for any sort of debate? Now, Kelly, the answer to that question is no. Hell no. He won't debate me. He won't back up what he's saying. He's bringing the Democrats, the liberals on this station. He's saying how great of a job they're doing. And you and I both know they're not doing a good job here in Alabama. What do the Democrats do? They don't represent their communities like they should. You know? The thing I'm telling you, it's just confusing to me. Confusing to me. You know, they talk about Black Lives Matter, but they only talk about Black Lives Matter when there is an officer involved. But they don't talk about Black Lives Matter when there's another when the victim is injured or killed by another black person. Why not? Why not? This is, to me, folks, is hypocritical, okay? You're only talking about police officers. You want to defund police officers. There are no Republicans that I know of who are calling for defunding the police. But there are a lot of Democrats calling for that, okay? There are a lot of Democrats talking about Black Lives Matter. But in their neighborhoods, in their cities, they say nothing, not a word when the crime is committed by a black person. And that's happening every day. You know, you talk about COVID. There are more gunshot deaths than COVID, folks, in all of these cities, these Democratic-run cities. But you don't hear the politicians talking about that. As a matter of fact, you don't hear the politicians talking about how bad this administration is. Okay? They want to stay away from it. You know what they talk about, folks? Racial issues. Racial issues. They thrive on calling whites, even me, a black Republican, a racist. They thrive on that. They thrive on that. And this is not good. And during our, after this break, we're going to be talking about this critical race theory. It's nothing but a racist theory that the Democrats are using to gather votes and gather more minorities into the Democratic Party. You notice they're not talking about anything good that this administration has done, because they've done nothing. Oh, yeah, I talked to somebody and they said, oh, man, Biden is giving out a lot of money. They'll talk about that. They'll talk about that. But they're not talking about, because he's giving out all of this money, we have a job shortage. We have people who don't want to work because they're getting all this free money. So the Democrats are proud of that. Go around your cities. Go around your areas. You'll see jobs available. Jobs available. We're hiring. Okay? We're hiring. They're in Bay Minette, they just built a chicken fast food place, okay? Now, a Popeye chicken. They can't open it up because they can't get anybody to work. They're looking for employees to work at that Popeye chicken. They're waiting. It's ready to go. This administration is responsible for a few million people who are sitting on their lazy behind, okay, collecting money via the federal government and not doing nothing, okay? Not doing anything, just sitting on their lazy behind getting free money. And folks, I applaud the states. I think there are 25 states that just cut that off, saying we're not going to participate. And they're getting the money from the federal government. Federal government sent it to the state, and the state have to issue it to their residents. And I think 25 states said, no. We as a result of this, we're having job shortages because people are lazy. They're getting the money. They don't want to work. Why should they work? They're making more sitting on their lazy behind. So this has to stop, folks. But you don't hear the Democrats talking about that. You do not hear them talking about that. And you won't hear them. You don't hear the Democrats talking about the border, how hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people, thousands, are coming into this country. Okay? You don't hear them. Or the millions of dollars being spent by this administration to house these people. And dozens are coming in with COVID. You don't hear about that. You don't hear about it. All you hear about is voter suppression. You hear about that. The Democrats are talking about it. A typical example is are those cowards that ran away from Texas. Okay, in Washington, D.C. You hear about that. You hear about that. But they are talking about them running away because of voter suppression. And we're going to get into that after this break. We got about another minute to go. But what voter suppression, folks? How is it voter suppression by passing laws to make voting better for people? How is that voter suppression? It's illegal voter suppression, I tell you that. We've got to stop it. And we're going to do it. 2021, we're going to take back the House, which is the Congress, and the Senate, folks. We're going to do that. Mark my word. We'll be right back after these messages.
Welcome back to the George Williams Show. Your texts and comments at 251-343-0106. Now, making the mission possible, here's George Williams.
All right. We're doing our last segment here, and we're getting some messages, especially some texts regarding Robert Kennedy, how he's afraid to come on the show because he won't be able to explain why he makes those statements. And I wish he would. Anytime the management here said they'll give us some free time so we could do it. We could do it every day. We could do it so many days a week. I'm ready. But in my opinion, and from what some of the messages, he won't be, Mr. Kennedy won't be able to justify what he's saying. Okay? I don't say anything without justifying it and backing it up, okay, and given my opinion. I'm not going to run from it. I'm not going to run from it. This, you know, for example, this critical race theory. Let me tell you, folks, this is nothing more than a bunch of lies and, you know, trying to divide and conquer, divide the races, divide the parties, okay, and conquer. And it, to me, in my opinion, it's a recruitment tools for the Democratic Party, and they're behind it. The Democrats are behind it. The Republicans are not behind this critical race theory. Look at your Secretary of Defense, who is from Mobile, Mr. Austin, Secretary Austin. He's for it, okay? And look at his chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. This is a white man who's almost in his 60s, or maybe in his 60s, and talking about he is for the teaching of critical race theory. I believe he said, yeah, I want to learn myself. Now, you're almost 60 years old, and you're the a four-star general, and you're a white American, and you want to learn about white people? That's what critical race theory is all about. They want to teach about negative things that the white man has done in the past. Okay? You want to learn about that? Are you kidding me? You are being controlled by the Democratic Party, by the Biden administration. So I realize you want to keep your job. Okay? So you're going to say anything that they want you to say. And the worst part about that is that your men, your troops, cannot give their opinion in public. You know, I spent 42 years in the military. I know the military. Okay? And I know, and I was an officer in the military. First enlisted for about 8 years, and then I went through OCS and got my commission. But I know your troops can't say anything in public. And you know that. And you, Secretary Austin, you know that. Okay? But I tell you what they can do. They can vote. And in 2022 and 2024, they're going to vote you, both of you guys, behind, out. Out. They're going to vote this administration out. Because even Democrats right now, okay, you got two segments of Democrat. You got the left, and you got a little closer to the center. Okay? Now you're on the far left. You're a bunch of communists. You're socialists, and every other bad word that goes along with that. And you're trying to, first of all, get rid of our Constitution. We're not going to do that, folks. My word to all of you Democrats, all you socialists, all you left-wingers, you're not going to do that. Remember one thing, 1776, when the British tried that, okay? What did our troops do? They stood up and they fought it. Do you out there think, you liberals, you're communists, you're socialists, you're anti-Americans. Do you think you're going to be allowed to take over this country? No, folks, forget it. Do you think you're going to be allowed to get rid of our Constitution? I don't think so, folks. I don't think so. You're not going to be allowed to do it. All of you Democrats out there who are closer to the center, come over to the Republican Party. I know you don't want anything to do with those idiots on the left, okay? Bernie Sanders, Pocahontas. I know you don't. We know you don't. We're getting a lot of Democrats coming over to the Republican Party now because we're in a situation that we have to think about our children, our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren. These folks want this country to be dissolved. and turned into countries like in Europe, okay? Like in South America, like in Southeast Asia, like in Africa. Folks, I've been to a lot of those countries. I've served there with the U.S. government. I know. And now you have a lot of folks coming into that has come into America that's trying to do the same thing that they did when they were in their countries, okay? And they know they can't do it in their countries because they get blown away. But here we have laws, and you have certain freedom. If you come to this country, why are you trying to make my country like your country that you left? If you don't like it, go back to your country. Go back to your country. Don't stay here in America. Don't stay here in America. Go back to your country. Because we don't want you here. The Olympics, okay? The Japanese don't really take any crap. And they're saying that no protests whatsoever in the Olympics. So I favor that. Okay. Now you got a bunch of folks who are talking about redesigning our flag, the American flag. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? Redesign the flag? This is part of what the Democrats, and the Democrats are behind it, folks. The Democrats are behind it, okay? They want us to get rid of our Constitution. They want to turn our country into a European or a South American or Southeast Asian country. And I tell you, we are not going to allow it. So 2022 is coming fast, and I applaud the courts for upholding. I finally am proud of the Supreme Court for upholding the Georgia law. I'm proud of Arizona, Maricopa County especially, for ordering the audit. And other Pennsylvania, they're going to do the same thing. Michigan, they're going to do the same thing. I applaud them for that because this election was not fair. They cheated. I'll say it. They cheated. There was fraud in this election, okay? So it reminds me of the Doug Jones situation. Okay? He snuck in, but we kicked him out in a real fast and a large way. So that's how this election is going to be in 2022, folks, okay? All right. That's my piece, and I couldn't wait to get that off my mind, folks, because we're in danger here and we have to be strong. Let's fight them. Let's fight them. Let's keep up and don't be afraid of the Democrats. Get some guts. All right, folks, next week, Dr. Lou will be here. I will be out of town visiting my children, grandchildren, and Dr. Lou will be here. Until that time, I come back. So, Vicon Dios, everybody, and wish me luck.